Tucson and Southern Arizona, good morning to you. Happy Friday, November 20th. Welcome into the 10-3 The Voice studio for this hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news and conversation about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Excited to close out the week together. Our main guest to kick us off this morning is going to be George Hammond, economist from the University of Arizona. We have employment numbers from recent data here. How is our region doing? How are our workers and our employers doing? We'll also talk about housing and the eviction crisis that is impending in T-4 or 5 weeks. So we'll discuss all that good stuff. We'll do a little bit of talk about a recent item in the news here in Tucson, and then Financial Fridays wraps the day up in a nice bow, talking about experienced advice for the seasoned investor and the young professional alike. That's our show today, 790-2040. Give us a call at any point in time to join the conversation. Meanwhile, and right now, George Hammond, good morning to you. Welcome on the air.
Hi, Zach. Thanks. Good to be here.
Happy Friday to you.
Yeah, you too.
One of those weeks where I'm glad to get here. It's been a good week. Just glad to be here. So we strategically set up the timing of this show when we were going to have a chat, George, really around the fact that yesterday, I believe, Arizona Employment releases October data, where we look at our jobs report, look at our unemployment. That came out yesterday, if I have my facts straight, George. You've been able to process it. Where are we at in our region? What do the numbers tell us about how we're managing COVID and the economy and all that good stuff?
Well, overall for the state of Arizona, October was really a pretty good month. Over the month, on a seasonally adjusted basis, we added about 21,000 jobs. And, kind of looking back to February and the job losses from February to April, which were huge, we at this point have replaced almost 66%, so almost two-thirds of those job losses. And that's a lot better than the U.S., which has only replaced about 55% of the jobs lost. So, Arizona is recovering. We are adding jobs over the month. We saw some nice job gains in professional and business services, including temporary help jobs. So those are kind of those contract jobs that are always the first to go in a downturn, and those are now coming back. We also saw some nice job growth in leisure and hospitality. Those were mostly in the restaurant sector. Accommodations, arts, entertainment, recreation, kind of those travel and tourism, really core travel and tourism jobs are still lagging. And also some strong job gains in trade and transportation. So that's a sector that's really bounced back nicely during the recovery. So, if we look over the period from September through October, we're adding on average about 14,000 jobs a month. And if we can keep up that pace, we could be back to the prior peak sometime around the middle of next year.
Is that ahead of or right on track with what you and other economists locally were projecting? Is this really good news? Is this stable news? How are we doing?
Well, this is on track with certainly with my forecast. Latest baseline called for the state to get back to that prior peak around the middle of next year. But you want to keep in mind that this is some of that data that we're looking in the rearview mirror, and this is before the recent surge in the outbreak. And certainly my forecast assumed that we would get another significant dose of fiscal stimulus in the fourth quarter. So I wouldn't be surprised if things slow down a little bit. It may be later in 2021 before we're back to that prior peak. But, we're basically on track to gradually recover and be back to that prior peak sometime in the second half of 2021.
Yeah, George, I remember speaking. We're with George Hammond, by the way, if you just joined us, economist at the University of Arizona. Earlier in probably the late spring, early summer, we spoke about kind of your educated projection and just my gut hunch that it would be at least 18 months. And we are kind of tracking with that, 12 to 18 month recovery period. What happens if there isn't a stimulus, another stimulus package released? And it really looks like it may or may not, but what are you hearing? What happens if we don't get that extra boost?
Well, if we don't get the extra boost, that'll slow the recovery, and it will really exacerbate kind of this two-speed recovery that we're seeing. The sectors that are recovering faster and doing somewhat better are the sectors that are sort of higher wage, higher educational attainment type jobs that can be done from home that don't rely on people getting together in groups. And the sectors that are really suffering are the kind of the lower wage sectors, particularly in the travel and tourism industry. We don't need a sort of the same kind of stimulus, the shotgun approach that we had with the CARES Act. The CARES Act pumped about $40 billion into Arizona's economy in the second quarter alone, and that's around 12% of our personal income in 2019. And the biggest chunk of that was the recovery rebates, those $1,200 checks that went out. We don't need that. What we need is something that's really targeted on the people and businesses that are suffering the most. And, those are unemployed people and businesses in that hardcore travel and tourism industry. And that's so we need something that's smaller, but something that's really targeted on those small businesses and the businesses, particularly small businesses in the travel and tourism sector and unemployed individuals to help them get to the other end of this, and which will, my forecast assumes that we'll have a vaccine widely available by the middle of 2021. So we've got to kind of get there. So we do need some kind of package to do that. I think most economists are assuming that we'll get something probably not in the fourth quarter of 2020, mm-hmm. but probably sometime in the first quarter of 2021, or at least the odds are higher for that. But, if we don't get anything, then it's going to be those unemployed individuals are going to continue to suffer because their unemployment benefits are going to run out completely. And the travel and tourism sector is still going to be down, and there will be no help for those small businesses. So we'll lose more and more of them.
Maybe the last question to wrap this up before we go to a break. George Hammond, economist from the University of Arizona. The local municipalities, City of Tucson, Pima County, of course, the other towns and towns and cities in the region here, have had the ability to direct and distribute CARES Act funding and different grants in different ways. We've seen Pima County become invested in grant projects downtown. We've seen different relief funds and support funds out of the City of Tucson. Have the local municipalities distributed and directed funding in the right places in your mind? You mentioned instead of that shotgun approach, there needed to be some targeted investment and support and relief funding in light of COVID. Has the money locally been going in the right places in your mind?
Well, I think that's the key thing, is to make sure that it's targeted on the areas of greatest need. And, it's likely going to be the state and local governments that are going to know that best. Targeting the small businesses and the issues that matter most for those state and local governments. And I'm a little bit less familiar with that, but that should certainly be the focus. And at least from what I'm reading in the paper, it sounds like that's where their efforts are being directed.
Looking forward, anything that you think our local municipality, our local municipalities should be doing as we close out the fourth quarter and head into 2021, maybe that you haven't seen, anything that you would advise or direct to continue the recovery?
Well, the thing that I'm thinking about a lot these days is that, this is far from over. There is certainly promising signs about a vaccine becoming available, maybe a little bit sooner than we thought.
Yeah.
That's good news, but this isn't over. The outbreak is accelerating significantly. Most aspects of the CARES Act are going to expire at the end of 2020. So, you know, this is far from over, and people are still going to need help as we go through that first half of 2021. So I would keep that in mind as we get some, you know, some good economic news, at least through October, to keep in mind the results for the end of 2020 and 2021 are not foreordained, and things can still slow down significantly, or we could see growth stop altogether.
We know with the election results and some of the ongoing conversation, we see the response to that from the market most at the national level, I think, most present in our day-to-day life. Anything locally that you've seen impacted by, you know, November 3rd and or the conversation that's been ensuing post that day?
Not so much, but I tend to focus a little bit less on that. I know it's mostly what we're seeing, at least nationally and to some extent locally, is some uncertainty initially about how things were going to pan out, how the count would finally fall. But it seems like that's pretty much done. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the new administration and how it's able to work with Congress, and really what the composition of particularly the Senate is like, and how that impacts a federal bill. You know, that federal funding had a big impact on the initial stages of the recovery, right? That $40 billion was a major boost to the state economy, and we'll see what happens going forward. If we get something that's, you know, properly targeted, it can be effective and efficient, and it can really help.
We're with George Hammond this morning, and for one more segment after our first break of the hour here, he directs the Economic and Business Research Center in the Eller College of Management, the University of Arizona, and is a research professor and economist there. When we come back, George, I'd love to talk about housing, and not just on the affordable side, but we know that permitting and development is slower and slowed, that demand is incredibly high, that we have a tight and hot housing market. You look at all these issues on all sides of the housing issue, both affordable and at market rate and accessible. A very interesting market to me right now that I think has some serious implications for the rest of this year going into 2021. I know you look at these issues as well. We'll talk about it after the break when we return here on Tipping Point, 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. Don't go away.
Place where Tucson comes to talk. 1030, The Voice.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
I'm Steve, and I'm the manager at Jones Photo. The company's been around since 1947, so we've been in Tucson a long time. The services we offer for our customers are film developing, prints of any size. We work with film, we work with transparencies, we work with digital files, just about anything that you can make a print from. Our goal in servicing our clients is always to produce the best work possible.
Jones Photo, 520-327-9521.
Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008. Hey Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to DecibelCoffeeWorks.com for more info.
Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Tucson's source for trusted news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Tucson, welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studio. Part two of our conversation this morning, our monthly conversation with George Hammond, director of the Economic and Business Research Center in the LR College of Management, a respected economist in the region. We get to hear from him once a month, and it's a real honor. George, welcome back on the air. And I wanted to talk about a very interesting housing situation that we have. We have about a month of inventory, it would seem, of housing. Our housing costs are going through the roof. It's a hot housing market. We're seeing construction delays. We're seeing permitting delays. We're also seeing an eviction crisis impending, where Tucson has a higher level of eviction than Arizona, which is itself higher as a state than the rest of the country. It seems like we're moving towards an iceberg here on the Titanic. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I think it's something that that deserves attention at this point. You know, we've seen public policy designed to try to prevent evictions, both at the state and federal level, in the interest of public health. Most of that effort, though, is set to expire currently at the end of 2020. And I also want to keep in mind that a couple of things when you think about the eviction moratoriums and the restrictions on evictions is that, for the most part, those restrictions generate a debt on the part of the renter, right? The rent doesn't go away. It just piles up. And then once the moratorium is over, all that rent becomes due. So finding ways for people to, you know, spread that out, I know there's work being done on that, is going to be key to avoiding a real surge in evictions once the moratorium is over. You also want to keep in mind that there's another side to the coin. There's renters, and then there are property owners or landlords. Those property owners are depending on that rent to, you know, some cases to provide income. According to a Brookings study, they estimate that about 40% of residential property units nationwide are owned by individual investor landlords, right? So they're actually depending on that income. There may be debt associated with that the landlord is trying to service. So, you know, it's a complicated issue, and there's a lot going on there, but this is something that we're going to want to keep an eye on going forward. And we have a nice article on the MAP dashboard at mapaz-dashboard.arizona.edu by Jennifer Pullen that kind of pulls together some of the sources of information and kind of the current state of policy. You're right, Zach. We do have relatively high eviction rates, or at least we did in 2016, which is the latest data. The eviction rate in Arizona was 3.9% in 2016 versus 2.3% for the nation. So evictions, even before the pandemic, were running relatively high in Arizona, even though they had improved significantly from what we were seeing in 2008-2009. So it's a big issue to keep an eye on, and we'll continue to revisit it on the map.
George Hammond, on another angle of this, we spoke about evictions and the moratorium that's about to expire and what happens there. We've got about 3.5 minutes. What about the housing market in terms of new housing starts, demand in the market, supply of housing? the, you know, I hear from a number of people who are concerned that the amount of staff at, in the city of Tucson that are permitting and forwarding development is smaller and more behind. Are we developing enough housing units? Are we keeping enough supply in the market to not see a massive spike in our housing prices? What do you make of that balance?
Well, I think we're seeing a significant acceleration in house prices really across Arizona. House prices in the state are rising much faster than they are nationally. You know, this is a situation that we've been in before. And you know, part of what's driving it is the strong demand. You know, Arizona is an attractive migration destination. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a bit of a bump, and maybe I've already seen that. Related to the virus, as people seek to spread out a bit more during the pandemic, and as remote work becomes a little bit more common, so you know, we are seeing strong demand, maybe increased demand, and the, you know, the supply of homes for sale has been growing fairly slowly, and that's the recipe for rising house prices and falling affordability. Now, what we have seen in terms of the permit data is really strong increases in housing permits statewide, and particularly in Phoenix. They're running at the highest rate we've seen since before the Great Recession in 2008. We're not quite back to that level yet in Tucson, but Tucson housing permits are also significantly up during the period. So, you know, even though construction employment strangely has been kind of weak so far in the pandemic, I think that situation's going to change pretty quickly as those permits start to get converted to housing starts and people start building those houses.
George Hammond, again with us from the University of Arizona Economic and Business Research Center, Director, Eller College of Management. The Eller Economic Outlook, George, December 4th. Where can people go to sign up for that, to find out more about what we've been talking about? What's the website that people can go as we close here?
Yeah, the best way to get to the registration information, this is a free virtual webinar. Our first time doing this, so we're really looking forward to it. We'll have Anthony Chan, former chief economist from J.P. Morgan Chase, talking about the global and national economies. I'll be summarizing what's going on statewide and here in Arizona, here in Tucson. The best place to go is to azeconomy.org, and you'll find a link there that will take you to registration. It is free, but we do want you to register, so please visit azeconomy.org.
George Hammond, as always, thank you for your time monthly here for a couple segments to address these issues, to talk about what's pressing and the latest data that you have. We certainly appreciate it.
Thanks, Zach.
Have a great rest of your Friday. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you in December, I'm sure. Take care.
All right. Sounds good. Bye.
Thanks, George. We are going to our bottom of the hour news and sponsor messages break. Visit some of our great sponsors who make the magic work here on Tipping Point 1030 The Voice. When we come back, I want to talk about something related to remote work. George and I did not coordinate on that, but he brought it up. It's really what I wanted to talk about in the third segment, a new initiative here in Tucson, and my thoughts on the response to it, that and more. Of course, Financial Friday closes us out later in the hour. We'll see you back in a minute.
CBS News at the top and bottom of every hour. 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
I'm Steve, and I'm the manager at Jones Photo. The company's been around since 1947, so we've been in Tucson a long time. The services we offer for our customers are film developing, prints of any size. We work with film, we work with transparencies, we work with digital files, just about anything that you can make a print from. Our goal in servicing our clients is always to produce the best work possible.
Jones Photo, 520-327-9521.
Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008. Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk, all day, every day. 1030, The Voice.
Tucson and Southern Arizona, welcome back into the 10-3 The Voice studio. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tipping Point on this Friday, November 20th. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. In-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. We just wrapped up our monthly conversation with George Hammond, an economist at the University of Arizona. We have him on about once a month to discuss some of the major economic trends happening in our community. Some good numbers reported related to jobs and employment. The projections that we will get to about where we were pre-COVID by mid to late next year is still going strong. According to George Hammond, that still depends on another round of stimulus. If we don't get that round of stimulus, that pre-COVID, that recovery to pre-COVID levels may be late 2021 rather than mid 2021. But overall, good news. And of course, we spoke about I don't like to use shock jock language, but I think that housing on a number of different levels is in a very interesting space right now. There is an eviction crisis looming. For years, Arizona has been leading, a leader in the country in evictions, not a place you want to be. And Tucson outpaces Arizona. Meanwhile, we are not seeing yet, I think, the housing starts and the development of new housing stock that will keep our market from being so tight. My understanding is we have about a month of housing supply. Healthy markets have 3 to 6. And so we are seeing accelerating housing costs and housing prices happening. So I talked to George about that as well. Neither of which are sustainable in my mind. So good conversation there. If you missed it, you can go listen to the podcast at iTunes or Google Play Music. I wanted to just share some kind of thoughts as I close out the week on a recent initiative in the city of Tucson and the greater Tucson region. It's a bit of a kind of a Pima County-wide opportunity, and the response to it that I want to speak to, just some thoughts that I've had about what the response says about our community, and that is remote Tucson. And it was interesting that George Hammond brought up remote work. And, you know, I remember earlier in the year, you know, there was all these, you know, Moody came out and said, hey, here's the top 10 communities around the country that are primed for a solid recovery. And I remember everyone going, yay, and it would be cited on Zoom calls and, you know, in city council meetings and economic development boardrooms. And then so many of us, myself included, were left saying, well, just because Moody says it, doesn't mean it's going to happen. There's going to have to be some level of storytelling, of advertising, of moving into this. We weren't just going to wake up one day and this was going to be true just because the data pointed to, hey, you know, affordable cost of living and more open space is going to be, you know, a much better solution for someone maybe coming from a coast or from a more dense city who maybe don't have to be tied down to their location for work. They can move out here. People are looking at moving to areas that are like Tucson, right? And we kept seeing this trend happening. We found that the Site Selectors Guild said, like, look, we're going to keep growing our companies in 2021. And not only are we looking to move to places like Tucson, we're actually looking to move to Tucson, right? And so there was all of this data pointing towards greater Tucson being this place primed for people who were looking for something different. And I and others across the political spectrum kept saying, good information, but it's not just going to happen on its own. And as months went on, as time went on, so many of us kept saying, okay, if we're not going to storytell around this, if we're not going to brand around this, if we're not going to make a campaign out of this, then it's just words. And we're going to again be that community like we have so many times before that has a grand opportunity ahead of us. And we always find a way to snatch victory out of, or defeat out of the jaws of victory, I think is how that goes, right? Where it's in a platter in front of us and we never quite take that opportunity. So an initiative that many of us actually started thinking about, and that was, how do we start to say, hey, how do we start to look at those remote workers, people who maybe are not in their offices, can work anywhere around the country, anywhere around the world? What if we put two and two together and said, hey, if you don't have to be in New York City, if you don't have to be in the Pacific Northwest, if you don't have to be in Atlanta, you don't have to be in Silicon Valley, you're looking for a more affordable place to live, you're looking for more open space, you're looking for a place that isn't getting hit as hard with COVID, put two and two together that they want places like Tucson. What if we did kind of a remote work initiative and laid a foundation to invite some of those people to Tucson and to brand our region, all these tie-ins. So a few of us separately started thinking about this, found out that Startup Tucson was a little bit ahead of the curve than some of us who were thinking about it. So we all kind of merged as different organizations, different thought leaders and influencers in the community to stand up an initiative called Remote Tucson. And the basics of it is that it's a little bit of moving costs and a lot of other public-private partnerships that are bringing everything from, you know, Wi-Fi and internet connectivity to welcome ambassadors to, you know, places to some of our art and culture institutions and our restaurants, kind of creating this experience to incentivize and invite and make it possible for people to come here. What often is lost in this conversation is that this is a beta. It's for 10 people, right? Only 10 people are going to, 10 remote workers are going to be accepted into this in the first round to kind of try this out. It's about $7,500 of mostly in-kind sponsored items that the community has poured into this. It's mostly an in-kind. There is some cash involved, $7,500. I say all that to get to the point where it launched this week. And the conversation around it was really interesting to me, right? These are not people who are taking Tucsonans' jobs, right? These are people who work for a company, are paid well by that company, probably not a company who's in Tucson, but they're moving to Tucson, they're staying employed with that company, they're not taking Tucson jobs, right? They're not being paid a salary to be here. The money they make is likely going to be higher than the average wage here, which means there's more liquid resources to be investing into our restaurants, into our businesses, into our goods, into our services. It's an influx of dollars that isn't coming from Tucson, isn't being taken away from Tucsonans, people moving here, and oh, by the way, bringing with them company affiliations that maybe 5-10 years down the road, if they have a positive experience now, may bring those companies to Tucson. People who are bringing a talent base that maybe we don't have. Maybe a Tucson company does hire them down the road because they're a software engineer or an accountant or a type of work that we don't already have in the community. And we know that there are millions of dollars of impact that are coming in. And it's been really interesting to see on both sides of the aisle, in some terms politically, but just in terms of opinions, the response to this. Responses of, that this is, you know, some kind of, you know, we can't create jobs here, so we're going to bribe people in. Or, you know, the fact of like, well, this money should have gone to local Tucsonans or things like that. And I actually wondered before this launched, how many people who would proudly say that Tucson is an immigrant welcoming city would be frustrated by this, right? This is maybe on one end of the spectrum. And in my mind, if we're going to be an open, welcoming city, let's do it for everybody, right? If we say we're going to be an open and welcoming city, let's be an open and welcoming city. Certainly we can sustain 10 new neighbors, right? Or on the other side, right, of people who support new business, of support a Tucson brand as a place of opportunity, who support bringing new people and new companies here, who want to see Tucson grow, who want to see all those things, suddenly think this is a bad idea. Fascinating to me. I think it tells me a lot about this community of sometimes how we get in our own way, of how we are actually self-defeating of our own values, how we don't think in the big picture. And the solution to Tucson's problem has often been, well, we're not going to grow. We're not going to invite new people in. And it's never worked because new people have always come in. Tucson's challenge is that we don't prepare for the growth, that we don't figure out how to invite new people into our community in a way that is sustainable for the current community. We have tried to stop things so many times rather than plan for the future. And it is a mathematical equation that's never worked for us, in my mind. It has never worked for us. So it's just been interesting to see Tucson's culture of both folks who would be immigrant welcoming, not being welcoming, and folks who are pro-growth, not being excited about this. We need to think like the 32nd largest city in the U.S. that we are. We need to think like the big community, the big city, the greater Tucson region that we are. We think like a small town. We're not. Our thinking does not reflect our reality. Right now, I feel like Tony Robbins, but I think cities are often the same way. Sometimes I feel like this show is like the therapy couch for Tucson. Get on the couch, Tucson. Let's have a chat. Our thinking does not reflect our reality. So anyway, more to come. We're 3 or 4 days away from the launch of this. And there are challenges, right? We need more housing stock. The answer is not to huddle down and to hold things tight and have a scarcity mentality. Our conversation should be, look, we've highlighted people coming to our community through Remote Tucson. These are not the first 10 people to move to Tucson in the last 8 months, right? We know we've got Californians and New Yorkers and Seattleians and whatever you say, and Georgians and Atlanteans. And these folks have been moving to our community since COVID began. And they are going to come in and they are going to be looking for housing that, by the way, a lot of New Yorkers and Californians can't find here, right? It's not a cost issue. There's not enough housing to go around. It is a problem. And yes, this could accelerate that challenge. The answer is not to just kind of shut things down. The answer is to figure out, what does a good housing strategy look like? What do we have to do to get there? How do we expand our opportunity? And I think often in Tucson, we get stuck by saying, this is the pie that we have, right? This is our economic pie. It will never get bigger. It will never get smaller. We just got to figure out how to slice, dice, and redistribute it. It's all we got. It's where we're at. We don't talk about how we grow a pie, right? I was talking with some friends and they're like, pie is for everyone, right? Why don't we think about how we create opportunity, how we create accessibility, how we create mobility in our community? I'm just like saying, before we talk about more pies, let's talk about growing the one we have, right? We can grow the pie, but we don't approach issues that way in our community so often. We say, these are our limitations. This is our sandbox. It will never get bigger. We don't have enough. We never talk about how to innovate our way into the future. We don't talk about how to expand our pie. We don't talk about how to create opportunity. We don't talk about how to be a welcoming city that has the strength to grow and to adapt and to move into the 21st century. We just say, this is what we got, and it's limited space. It's not how it works. And it's not just abundance versus scarcity mentality. You know, I think there's that too, but it falls down pretty quick. I mean, there are resources. Everything does have a limit. It's not infinity. But let's have an elevated conversation about how we welcome in the new world that we are at and Tucson find itself behind the curve on that conversation? Right? Like the Phoenixes of the world are the Phoenixes of the world because they are always looking 10 years, 15 years down the road and have an openness to what the future might hold, how to move in that direction. We often react. We don't respond. We react. Always reacting. Always on the back foot. We can do better. And I think the launch of Remote Tucson reflects so many ways that so many different groups and ways of thinking in our community miss the big picture, miss the point. We can do better. And it's going to take everybody, because everybody in my mind has been screaming by the big point of this. We can do better. Let's go to our last break of the hour here on Tipping Point 1030 The Voice. When we come back, we're going to finish out the week with two of the smartest people I know, Jason and Brian, Mass Mutual. Experience advice for the seasoned investor and the young professional alike. It's what we always do here on Friday, and we'll do it when we come back. See you in a minute.
News at the top and bottom of every hour. 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about, and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at storytellerpr.com to learn more. In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Tucson, if you're like me and my family, COVID-19 has made us take a hard look at our finances and financial planning. If that's you too, give my friends at Mass Mutual a call at 274-3749. They can help you navigate through these challenging times, integrate your insurance and investments with a purpose and a plan, and create a holistic financial strategy that works for you. Call them at 274-3749 to get started. Hey Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to decibelcoffeeworks.com for more info. Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings, and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
And we are back. Welcome into the 10-3 The Voice studio. Here with us to help close out our show, Jason Robinson, Brian Fenn, Mass Mutual Financial Fridays. Gentlemen, welcome and happy Friday.
Hey, Zach. Happy Financial Friday. Good to be with you this week. And like Jason and I always talk about, as financial advisors, we are just one component of the team that you need in order to have a successful plan built. So today I'm actually with my good friend Ricky Aboud, and he is my mortgage lender, and we have known each other for probably the better part of a decade now, huh, Ricky?
Yep.
So I wanted to have you on the show, and wanted to talk about what's going on with the interest rates. Should people be looking at refinancing? Is it a good time to buy? What are the conversations you're having?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, and hope you all had a great week. It's been a really busy week for us. Actually, it's been a really busy year for us. The mortgage industry is at a capacity that was unprecedented, or something that we could even plan for this year.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're going through a pandemic, and it's been a tough year for many industries.
Sure.
But the mortgage industry has actually thrived during all of this.
Yep.
And if I remember correctly, it was back in February when "quote unquote Corona hit."
Right. That's right.
Mortgage rates dropped drastically.
Yeah,
and a lot of people right at the beginning took advantage of that and started refinancing.
Okay,
and it hasn't stopped since.
Is now a good time to refinance your home?
Right now is an absolute great time to refinance. As we're doing your refinance, I'm doing my personal refinances. Finally, I was able to scratch, you know, make a little bit of time and do my refinances.
Good job.
But yeah, right? But really, I'm even having clients that just bought a home or even refinanced earlier this year.
Yeah.
So I have clients that I helped with a purchase or a refinance in January of this year. It hasn't even been a year. And we're refinancing them because we're able to lower their interest rate.
Interesting.
Or we're looking at different things, right? A refinance, we can look at lowering a rate, lowering the term, taking cash out. And we'll talk a little bit about that individually. But so if somebody out there thinks, I just got my mortgage, that's even more of the reason to pick up the phone and call me.
I wouldn't even think about doing, if I bought a home, to then refinance it within the year. And you're saying that you're doing that and it's benefiting your clients.
Absolutely. And the reason being is the way mortgages work. And once you have a mortgage, you kind of realize how slowly you're paying down the principal. And that's what we call that interest is front-loaded.
Okay.
On a mortgage. So for the first 5 to 7 years, I'm sorry, but you're going to see that your principal does not drop much. Most of the payment that you're making is going towards interest.
Okay.
So the longer you wait to refinance, what we call that break-even point of where you actually benefit from refinancing and paying the closing costs and things of that nature, the longer you wait, the further that break-even point happens. So if you think about it, if you're in the early part of that mortgage, shoot, turn around and refinance that as soon as you can. That break-even point will come a lot sooner.
That's interesting. Yeah, because as I was thinking about it, it didn't even cross my mind if I were to have recently refinanced or bought a house to go in and look at it again. But are you saying, is it because of the rates being so low that is the reason you're looking at it?
Correct. Okay. Yeah, because the drop in the rate is significant. Even in just the last 10 months, the rates have dropped so much.
Let me ask you this, just for like a rule of thumb, and I know it's going to be individualistic when you sit down with clients, but 15-year versus 30-year mortgage. And I'm going through it with you right now, so I'm probably going to be asking you these questions as we get to the finish line.
Yep.
What are the pros and cons?
So what is the most efficient mortgage is a 15-year mortgage.
Okay.
Right. Years ago, we would see a huge drop in the rate from a 30-year to a 15-year. You wouldn't see that much of a drop from a 30 to a 25 to a 20. You would see that drop on the 15. 5 years ago, I remember it was like 0.75% or maybe a whole percent that the mortgage would that the rate would drop. We don't see that much anymore. It's not that big of a drop. So what I'm recommending for clients is maybe they go with the 30, the 25, or the 20, and then I run an amortization and let them know, if you want to turn this mortgage into a 15-year, this is how much more you need to pay towards principal.
Oh, you increase the payment.
Because when you commit to a 15-year, you're stuck with that 15-year loan. And if you're in sales or if you don't really know like what your future is going to be as far as income, it's safer to not be committed to that much of a higher payment and have the ability that if something happens, you can always make that lower payment.
That is incredible advice. And just for our listeners out there, that's just one of the many pieces that Ricky will, you know, take a look at and see if it makes sense for you. So, Ricky, I just want to thank you for your time today, and we'll wrap it up. So appreciate it. If our callers want to call in, what is the best number to get a hold of you?
The best number to call me at is my personal cell phone. You can either call or text me at 520-245-5921. Again, that's 520-245-5921.
All right, that's it. Thanks, Zach. We'll pass it back over to you. And as always, if you want to contact any of the advisors at our firm, our number is 274-3749. Have a great week.
Ricky, Brian, really timely stuff. That was good. I was taking notes on that myself. Thank you so much. Financial Friday here on Tipping Point. Hey, I want to close sort of to the last segment as well. I posted something on social media and it blew up yesterday. I was kind of surprised. I said this: I think a mentality in our community I've seen more of lately, and that bothers me more and more, is that for someone to succeed, someone else has to lose. And that success only exists at someone else's expense. When that happens, we create a culture of retribution, not working together to find smart ways to solve challenges and raise all boats. So that would be kind of my tie-in call to action from the third segment there, is this: let's think bigger and broader and more long-term in this community. I think it's the number one thing that we've got to do to get to that best possible future. And you guys know I'm bullish and dug in here in Tucson to make that happen. And we get to talk about it every day here on Tipping Point, Monday to Friday. We'll be back on Monday at 9. Till then, have a great weekend, Tucson. Hugh Hewitt coming up next. Bill Buckmaster at noon. Enjoy and stay safe. We'll talk soon. Take care.